Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode one of a brand new message series called Still the Church. I've been really looking forward to this one as we kick off a new month. It's going to be a great few weeks together. You know, church may look different. We may not be meeting together the way that we used to, but we will persevere as we move through this season that we're in, because the church is not a building. It's not brick and mortar. It's people. It's you and me together. It's all of us honoring God no matter what circumstance we're facing. And any place, any time, anywhere, we are the church. And that is God working in and through his people. And even though I'm standing right now in the middle of an empty auditorium speaking to you in your home through a camera or on the bus or maybe in the break room at your office, we are still the church. And the church is alive and well. In fact, I believe the church is stronger than it's ever been before. You know, we may be physically distanced right now for the safety of our city, but we don't have to be relationally distanced. As a matter of fact, this past week, we had hundreds of people meeting together in online small groups, praying for one another, encouraging one another. And so I would say to you, if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling alone, listen, jump in the chat today. Let someone know. We'd love to pray for you. We'd also love to connect you to a small group. You know, it's a wonderful thing when we can still gather together and see one another. It encourages us. It helps us to kind of navigate this season together. You know, this past week, Team Calvary was also actively involved. Very so proud of everyone who's given to this and jumped in and served. But we were partnering and serving alongside of the City Dream Center once again, delivering food hampers to our school, to those that are needy, to seniors. This is a great opportunity to minister to those that are in need. We were also helping the North Surrey Emergency Response Center that's being put together by the Surrey Urban Mission. And so I want to thank all of you. Thank you for bringing clothes into the church so that we can take it and help those that are sick and homeless. As a matter of fact, right now we have a couple of clips that you can actually get a taste of what was happening this last week. You know, not only did we help in both of those areas, but we're also continuing to serve alongside of Night Shift Street Ministries. Our street outreach team is still feeding the homeless, still helping our street friends, because there's never been a greater time for the church to shine than the one that we're in now. We are still the church out in the community serving and loving the people. You know, when Jesus asked his disciples, he said, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Simon was quick to jump in and say, "You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God." And what I think is interesting is that Jesus' response to Simon had more to do with the church than it did with just him as an individual. It wasn't about the strength of a building or a strength of a place, but a strength of God's power in people. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 16, verses 17 to 18, Jesus told them, "Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed. You didn't discover this on your own. It was shown to you by my Father in heaven. So I will call you Peter." So Simon gets a name upgrade in that moment. And he says, "I will call you Peter," which means a rock. "And on this rock, on this building stone, I will build my church. And death or hell itself will not have any power over it." You know, Jesus in that moment saw the church in Simon, a foundational stone. And he named him Peter, or Petros in the Greek, which means stone. And so Christ also today sees the church in you, not just in a building, but in each and every one of us. Each of us are called as building blocks within the church, living stones, standing strong, especially in crisis and in difficult times. You know, if you've ever seen somebody writing Chinese or taking a brush and putting together a Chinese character, it looks like a beautiful work of art. As a matter of fact, I have a friend in Taiwan, a pastor friend, whose father handcrafts seals made of jade and marble, and he crafts these characters, just like this one right here. And he does this incredible work of art, and these characters are so significant because each one of them means something different. Now listen, when written in Chinese, the word crisis is actually composed of two completely different characters. One character represents danger. The other character represents opportunity. This is so powerful that in the midst of crisis, in the midst of danger, we as the Church of Jesus Christ have an opportunity to serve and to love and to shine brighter than ever before. And through these dangerous days, we have, I believe, a calling to seize the opportunity that's before us, to minister to the need that is still surrounding us. Jesus is still building his church through you and I. And you know what? We're going to walk through this valley, and when we come out the other side, we will come out stronger than ever before if we remain in him. You know, I think the first thing we need to understand about the church is that it's Christ who establishes us as his people. It's not a man-made idea, the church. It's actually God's idea. Now, that statement that I just made is important because of its ordering. You see, our identity as the church is to be a collection of God's people brought together because of our union with Christ. And it's that union that we celebrate. It's that union that we draw strength from during challenging times. So that union isn't dissolved because of our inability to gather right now. It's still happening. You know, every day when I come into the church office on the Trans-Canada Highway, I pass under a very large sign that says, COVID-19, avoid gathering. Now, that's just so odd to see on a daily basis because the church, God's people, is all about gathering together. And instead, we find that connecting is something that God wants us to do. And so even though we're not allowed to gather in person, we find other ways. We're meeting online. We find new ways that transcends time and space, that doesn't limit us, so that we can continue to deepen those relationships. And to me, I don't know about you, but that is deeply reassuring. You see, my identity isn't just as a church member. My identity is really put together because of my union with Jesus. And right now, wherever you are, whatever you're going through, right in this moment, you need to understand that you are part of the people of God. You're part of the church. You're part of that big C church, where we're a part of a people all together going through this time. And because we are one of God's people, we are one by faith, we want to meet with other people, whether it's virtually online or whether it's in the days soon to come when we'll gather again together, because we draw strength in that. We're still the church, no matter how we gather together. We are the master's grand design, and every color, every culture, every ethnicity was carefully crafted by God himself with great purpose and eternal significance. You see, our true identity is in him. It's in the one who has formed us, who's molded and shaped us to be fit and built together, to be something greater than we could ever be on our own. And that's exactly what I'm talking to you about today, is being fit together. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. So it makes us stronger when we're fit together, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Now, that scripture doesn't say anything about that not being true if there's a pause in how we're living our lives because of a global pandemic. It's still happening. He has fit us together as a church to help one another grow, especially during times of crisis. You see, the whole body is healthy, it's growing, it's full of love when we realize that we're all in this together, that you're never alone. Physically, you may feel that sometimes, but please know He is with you, that we are with you, standing in your corner. And the shape of the church and its methods may change over time, but the message of Jesus Christ will never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so our true identity in Christ comes really into focus when we recognize that we have been fit together as His church. You know, the other day I was looking for a charge cable for an old laptop for my wife to get on. Everybody needs a screen these days. And so as I looked for this charge cable, I came across several bins in my house full of cables. Charge cables, connector cables, like it was like the graveyard. It's where cables go to die. And some of you probably have a few bins like that in your home as well. But it seems that over the years, these connectors change all the time. The technology shifts and gets better and more improved. And so you go and you try to find, and just when you think you found that cable, you realize that the connector on the end doesn't fit. And so when there's a disconnect, there's a lack of power. But when you find that proper cable, it's like finding the key that fits to a lock in a door. Suddenly, the power flows again. You and I need to maintain that power. We have been created to discover His power and strength in our lives when we're fit together as the church. You know, the church matters. The church matters to God. It matters to you and I because it actually affects who we're becoming. God uses community every day to help shape us, whether that's in person or online. God has placed people in your lives that help you to grow. As a matter of fact, we see this very clearly back in the early church in Acts chapter 2. We also see this in a man like David, who was surrounded by people that cheered him on and pulled him back. And yet God used every one of those people and relationships to help shape the man that he would become. I think we all need a better theology of the church when it comes to its role in the development of who God's called each one of us to be. So let me give you a few things that will help bring it into focus about why church matters. The first one is this: church is not about satisfaction, but sanctification. You see, the functioning inner theology of most people these days is satisfaction, especially when we're feeling like we're being deprived of it. How does the music make me feel? What does this message make me want to decide or not decide? And so we gauge all of things based on our feelings. Instead of allowing the Word of God to affect who God wants us to be and who He's transforming us to become. You see, listening to a message or a song on a regular basis doesn't in and of itself sanctify us. Sanctification is an inward attitudinal change that is translated into a physical bodily change. So do I feel peace? Really needs to become, am I living peaceable with the other people that are living around me? You see, church is a gathering of Christ followers, whether that's virtually or physically. And all of these things affect who we're becoming. And that church, that community of people, allows us the space to practice those 100 or so commands that Jesus has given us, like in Galatians 6:2, to bear one another's burdens. Or in James 5:16, to confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. You know, in-person gatherings may change the way we live our lives, but those things remain in motion, those relational values that God has placed within our lives. You see, the working out of our salvation in this beautiful mess that sometimes is what we call a church community is really a part of God's plan, who He's designed us to be through that process of sanctification and growth. The second reason church matters is that church is not just about me, it's about the many. Now that's a big revelation for some people, because many people live their lives thinking everything is about me. It's all about me. But the truth is, the church is more about the many. The body doesn't just consist of one member, but of many. And so when you're baptized, you're not just baptized into Christ, you're baptized into the body, into a community of saints. Community is not just about me, it is truly more about the we. And the local church is the extension of Christ's body into the world. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "You are the body of Christ, and individually members of it." So listen, to not be involved or fit together in the local church is really to diminish being united with Christ in his body. The third reason why church matters so much is that church is not about emotion, but about mission. You see, as we continue to share our faith with other people, with those around us that maybe don't know Christ yet, into what community are we going to invite those new Christ followers? In what community can they come and grow and be baptized and rooted in? How can we take the great commission that we see in Matthew 28:19 seriously, to go and make disciples of all the world, to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? How can we do that if we're not involved in a church where we can actually baptize those believers? How can you truly love God without loving what he loves himself? And I tell you, he still loves the church because he sent his Son to die for it. And then number four, church is not about consumption, but community. Or not about consumption, but about communion. Now, we just had communion today. We participated in that together. But what does that mean? There's more to it than just receiving the emblems and remembering. Well, think of it this way. Common union is a little bit more of a more clear way to look at it. You see, when God the Father brings us into life with him through his sacrificial death, through the death of Christ, we are united with him by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that union is what it's all about. When he saves us, he also saves us into life with his chosen people, a community that has these things in common. So communion is our redemption out of sin by God and into common union with him and with one another. Salvation is both union with God and union with other people. That's really the depth of what it means. And yet some people try all the time to say, you know what, I just need God. I don't need other people in my life. And yet God has wired you and shaped you to lean on, to draw strength from, and to be molded and shaped within the context of community. You know, ultimately, when we get to the other side and step into eternity, it will be less about what you've collected and more about who you have become. And who you have become is directly connected to the community who helped to shape your character over that time. Becoming me cannot be accomplished in a vacuum. Heaven is all about community, so we might as well start practicing now. You know, why wait until we draw our last breath to experience that reality? We can get a taste of heaven right now, right here. And like David, we can become men and women that have a heart that's so focused on God. You see, successfully becoming me relies heavily on becoming we, on becoming that community, being fit together as a church family. We are still in unity. We are still the church. This morning, it would be my great honor to pray for you, those of you that are going through so many different things, and to experience peace and to recognize the strength of the church community. We need to know him. We need to be in union with Christ first. So wherever you are right now, if you'd say, Pastor Steve, would you pray for me? Would you pray that right now I would know Christ in a personal way, that I would have that strength even in difficult times? If that's you all around the world, wherever you're watching, go ahead right now in the chat and click on raise your hand. Click that now, and I'm going to pray for you. And as people are clicking that hand, I want you to know that we as a team, we are praying for you. And I'm going to pray a prayer for you right now so that you would know Christ in a personal way and that you would be strengthened. And I'm also going to pray for all of you that you would understand that even though you've not seen your friends or the members of your church for a very long time, we are still the church, fit together for his purpose. So if you've raised your hand or you're still doing that, pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on a cross for me. I thank you for the church, that I can be a part of it today. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And fill me with the hope of heaven. And today I confess you as my Lord and Savior with a fresh start. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We're so excited that you made that decision today. Let us know in the chat who you are and your information. We'd love to send you some resources to help see you become stronger in your faith. You know, over the last couple of months, we have seen how the generosity of God's people has truly made the difference. All of what you've seen earlier that's happening in the community is happening because of your generosity. So I want to give you an opportunity again in our worship to give today, to again not pause your giving because the church is meeting in a different way, but to be faithful, to plant a big seed believing for a miracle. And as you watch online, we've made that as simple as possible. You'll see the information on the bottom of the screen. You can click on give, even in the chat, or you can navigate to calvary.ca/give, or you can text the word Calvary CA to the number 73256 on your mobile device. You know what? I'm asking you today to be generous, to be faithful in your giving. And here's why. The ministry of our church continues on in our community, continues with our own church family, and it continues all around the world. Let's continue to be a church that can bring some stability and hope in the midst of an unstable time when people are really reaching for it and really need that hope. Help us to make a way for people to find that kind of strength in their lives again. So I thank you again for your faithfulness. So just before you give, I'd love to pray for you and your family. Love to pray for your giving today. Father, I thank you for every gift, for every giver. I pray that you'd bless each one in Jesus' name so that we could continue to do what you've called us to do and see our mission move forward as we love God, love people, and love the life that you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you today. Listen, this week, jump in on an online small group. We'd love to see you. We'd love to pray and to laugh and to see your face again. And then we look forward to seeing you next week for Calvary Church Online at 9, 10, 30, and 12. And you know what? This week, go ahead and share all the social media you see for the church and invite a friend. Invite people to church. Because we know that in these times, we have an opportunity to share his love and to share it with a world who desperately needs it. And God wants to use you to do it. It's never been easier to invite someone to church and to share. So please go ahead and do that today. Have an amazing week. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.